from deep inside your radio.
Also from New Orleans, Louisiana, the French Quarter thereof, whence this broadcast originates on this particular week. Ladies and gentlemen, Saturday, Pope Benedict the 16th, you heard about him? Had his first public audience. And he thanked, first of all, he got a standing ovation from the assembled journalists. Does that sound right to you? Standing ovation from journalists. Is that what they're paid to do? I'm sorry. I mean, I know they should be treating the new pontiff with respect and all that, but a standing O? How about for Bruce? And the former Cardinal Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict XVI, have you heard about that? Then thanked the assembled world journalists, as well he should have, as well he might have, ladies and gentlemen. Let me explain. Let me hasten to explain. Earlier this week, CNN, at least, I know I didn't see all of the news channels, but I know CNN broadcast footage of a helicopter crash in Iraq. Video footage that was clearly labeled as insurgent video, because insurgents had shot it to kind of show off, and had then given it to Al Jazeera, which gave it to CNN. And CNN, one thinks properly, identified it as insurgent video. That's where it came from. That's why CNN got it. They put it on the air, but they identified the source. Now, all the coverage in Rome over the last 3 weeks, now we know it was important, to especially to world Catholics, but wall to wall, think like a TV producer, TV news producer especially. Where can I get free video? Where can I get free live switched feeds of something picturesque? Rome. Almost all of the video, that is to say the live coverage of the event surrounding the death of John Paul II and the accession of Benedict XVI, almost all of that video, except for the talking heads commenting on it, was provided free of charge, live, multi-camera switched feeds by the Vatican. Did you ever see a little thing at the top of the screen that said Vatican footage? I'm betting you didn't. Yeah, the Pope should thank the media. Yes, sir. Of course, there's not unanimity on the choice of the new Pope. There's some grumbling about his background in the, what was it called then, the Hitler Youth? And his supposedly arch-conservative stance inside the church. And there's some suspicion that there may be problems with new Pope. And while they may keep him for the segment of the market that likes new Pope, there's already talk in the Vatican that they may have to bring back Pope Classic. Hello, welcome to the show.
Wouldn't give a five figure acorn. Wouldn't give a crippled crab a crutch. Wouldn't give a blind figure acorn. Wouldn't give a crippled crab a crutch. Baby, you and your food stamps, you know you ain't so such a much. Now old settlers know just what to do. Old settlers know just what to do. They give you all kind of good old loving, some good old money too.
Well, my woman is phony, as phony as a shoplifter's alibi. I said my woman is phony, as phony as a shoplifter's alibi. Every time I catch her wrong, a girl comes up with a different line. Now if I want to catch her, catch her in a crooked act, all I do is throw a brick at the front door and then run around to the back. 'Cause my woman is phony as a shoplifter's alibi. Every time I catch her wrong, the girl comes up with a different lie.
Lord, since I begin to crawl. Whoa, bad luck in my family. Lord, since I begin to crawl. You know it's bad luck and trouble. I wouldn't have no luck at all.
Yeah, from the other edge of America, from the French Quarter of New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this week's edition of Le Show. We do it every week, and by we, I mean me. Ladies and gentlemen, this feature does have legs. It may need a theme song before long. Corrections from the Los Angeles dog trainer. Now, yeah, you know, every publication makes mistakes and has to correct them. These are just better. Quote, an article in Sunday's calendar section about amassing a DVD library of classic films listed four as available. But in fact, they are obtainable only as imports. Double Indemnity, Chimes at Midnight, Falstaff, Napoleon, and The Nun Story. Another film, Earrings of Madame D, is not in release. In addition, four films listed as unavailable on DVD are, in fact, available as imports. The Music Room, Charolata, Davy, and The Young Mr. Lincoln. La Jetée is available domestically as part of Short 2, Dreams, with narration in English. It is available in its original form as an import. The films of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers also are available as imports, but not domestically. Imported DVDs generally require a different operating system. So that was a good feature to have in the calendar section. By the way, they charge you for accessing that section online. And apparently it's worth it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, won't you join me in welcoming a copyrighted feature of this broadcast, The Apologies of the Week? Yes, it's copyrighted. Who wants to know?
We're so sorry.
All right, it's not really copyrighted. Dateline Washington. High-profile U.S. conservative Newt Gingrich has agreed to retract his statement that terrorists involved in the 9/11 attacks entered the United States from Canada. The move came Wednesday after Canada's ambassador fired off a letter of complaint. Gingrich deeply regrets the error, said his spokesman Rick Tyler. It's become accepted conventional wisdom here that they entered from Canada, but he'll help to correct the record. He wishes he had not repeated that error and had checked it out, Tyler said. Gingrich is a commentator for the Fox News Channel. He could ask them about checking things out. Or maybe he couldn't. Dateline Sacramento, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger moved quickly this week to apologize for suggesting that California's border with Mexico should be closed in an effort to solve the nation's immigration problem, illegal immigration problem. He said he misspoke in comments to newspaper editors and publishers Tuesday, intending to say the border should be secured rather than closed. He blamed the error on his sometimes flawed use of English. Yesterday was a total screw-up in the words I used, because instead of closing, I meant securing. I think maybe my English, I need to go back to school and study a little bit. Or maybe somebody just hipped him on math, specifically how many Hispanics vote in California. Or history. What happened to Pete Wilson? Dateline Ottawa, Prime Minister Pete Wilson was the former governor of California who went into political oblivion using illegal immigration as his vehicle. Dateline Ottawa, Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin committed to calling an election by next January, regardless of what happens with the $250 million sponsorship scandal, whatever that is, and he once again apologized to Canadians for failing to safeguard their money. Sitting behind his desk in the Prime Minister's office, a somber-looking Mr. Martin conceded that his finance minister, when that program was in full swing, he is sorry he was not more vigilant guarding against the misuse of taxpayers' money. But that's not the only nation apologizing. That's just the Prime Minister apologizing. How about a whole country? Japan's Prime Minister has moved to defuse the crisis in relations with China by making a public apology for the crimes committed by the Imperial Army in the Second World War, quote, in a spirit of humility and with feelings of deep remorse, unquote. Shortly afterwards, China responded, saying that the President and the Chinese President and the Japanese Prime Minister would meet. Relations between the two Asian giants had fallen to a 30-year low after Japan published a history textbook that China felt paid insufficient attention to crimes such as the Rape of Nanking and other Japanese atrocities. The Prime Minister, Mr. Koizumi, made the apology in front of the leaders of more than 100 countries who are in Jakarta, Indonesia, for the Asian-African Summit. The Chinese president was among the listeners. Quote, in the past, Japan, through its colonial rule and aggressiveness, caused tremendous damage and suffering to the people of many countries, particularly those of Asian nations. Koizumi said. Japan squarely faces these facts of history in a spirit of humility and with feelings of deep remorse and heartfelt apology always engraved in mind, unquote. That, ladies and gentlemen, that's an apology. Dateline Windham North, New Hampshire. Two of the three men charged with blowing up 20 mailboxes in Windham with homemade bombs have apologized to the community. Joshua Brody, 19, called it a stupid prank. A second man, Arthur Tuttle, 18, also apologized when reached by the local paper. The third man was not reached. Brody said the three made the explosives by following directions. Say it with me. On the internet. An advertisement that ran in a recent edition of the Daily Mississippian contained a racist message, according to the editor of the Daily Mississippian. The ad was paid for by the New Century Group and promotes American Renaissance, a monthly magazine that espouses views about immigration and race relations. The Daily Mississippian advertising staff will include a retraction and apology for the advertisement in Monday's edition of the paper. We'll be watching. Also in the fine state next door here to New Orleans, the president of the University of Southern Mississippi Foundation apologizes for a comment he posted on the internet concerning the school's recruitment of a football player with a criminal history. Robert Toy, the football player, is Marcus Raines, a linebacker at Pasadena City College who has an involuntary manslaughter conviction. Robert Toy McLaughlin, Toy is his middle name, ladies and gentlemen, of Birmingham, Alabama, president of the University of Southern Mississippi Foundation, authored a comment on the message board of the institution that reads, quote, "Post one more word about Marcus Raines and I'm going to get on top of the administration building with a high-powered rifle and start shooting," unquote. The comment was posted under the name Insomniac Eagle, McLaughlin's internet alias. He said he'd written the post after 2 days of high volume on the message board about Raines. He said the comment had been made in jest. Amateur humor. You gotta love it. Todd Brown, author of Brown, owner of Brown Racing, and Shane Hemeal, driver of number two Winfuel Chevrolet, have decided not to appeal the penalties assessed by NASCAR for an incident that occurred during the Sharpie 250. This is a motor race, ladies and gentlemen, on Monday, April the 4th. Quote, "Although we do not agree with the way that everything has been handled in regards to the incident that occurred, we do understand the direction that NASCAR is trying to move and what they're trying to accomplish," Todd Brown said. The incident, the driver, Neil, fined $10,000 and docked 25 points for making an obscene gesture that appeared on live television via his in-car camera. "I apologize for making the gesture," he said. "I never intended it for it to end up on television." The direction NASCAR is moving apparently involves trying to appeal to women. Welcome, new pope. Heard about this? Dateline Fremont, California. The last time Dan McNevin stood in Corpus Christi Catholic Church, he was a 13-year-old altar boy. This week he returned 33 years later to hear the leader of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Oakland apologize for the sexual abuses he and others have alleged they suffered under the Reverend James Clark, who served the church for 20 years and died in 1989. Said McNevin after the service, "I am trying to move toward forgiveness." Just another example of the American media trying to make the church look bad, according to Cardinal Ratzinger in the old days. And then there's this, ladies and gentlemen. Dateline Australia. Almost a million viewers watched a blank TV screen for 41 minutes as technicians tried to get a cliffhanger episode of the Australian hit drama Blue Heelers back on the air. "To tell you the truth, we still don't know what the problem was, mate," says Ian Johnson, general manager of the 7 network in Melbourne. "To take out the whole nation, it's never happened before. Our hearts just stopped, mate," he said. Power went out at the National Broadcasting Center in Melbourne about 9:09 p.m., blanking out screens across the country. The backup power source in Melbourne also failed, as did the emergency procedure meant to switch transmissions to Sydney. Because transmissions for the whole country came from that one broadcasting center, the network was unable even to apologize a message apologizing for the situation until power was restored at 9:50 p.m. But the glitch did not result in a ratings boost for competitors. Figures showed viewers preferred the blank screen. More than 900,000 viewers stayed tuned to the network after screens went blank 38 minutes into the nail-biter episode, said the spokesman for the network in Sydney. He apologized to viewers who tried to ring the network on Wednesday night, as the network's national phones were down as well. It tells you something, ladies and gentlemen, either about television or about Australia. And finally, in the apologies of the week, from the aforementioned calendar section of the aforementioned dog trainer, quote, last week, Universal Pictures and the Los Angeles Times ran a promotional advertisement for the interpreter, which featured the logo of a third party. Sean Penn was not consulted about this advertisement, as is required in his agreement with the film's production company. Universal Pictures regrets this oversight. No comment from the Los Angeles dog trainer. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen. It's oh so copyrighted. Now some news from outside the bubble. The Bush administration's outreach to the Islamic world is apparently going slowly, and it includes no Muslims. Aside from that, it's in great shape. This is according to a report in the Washington Post. Karen Hughes, you remember she was appointed a month ago to craft a bold new approach for U.S. public diplomacy, won't be taking the job until the fall. A well-placed U.S. official warns about, quote, the gap between rhetoric and reality, unquote. The new number two official in charge of public diplomacy, Dina Powell, coming from the White House, is also not expected to take the job for at least two more months. The delay comes as a Government Accountability Office report released this month criticizes the administration for failing to develop a strategy to improve the image of the United States. Recent polling data show that anti-Americanism is spreading and deepening around the world, according to the GAO. Despite the administration's repeated pledges of outreach, the State Department's main program directed at the Islamic world has no Muslim staff, say officials. There's a dearth of Muslims in the State Department generally, says the official. How about a country that's run by a mean, brutal dictator that uses chemical weapons on his own people? Shouldn't he be taken out? Shouldn't he be attacked and taken out? Oh, I'm sorry. This guy really does have chemical weapons. That's different. An international human rights group has accused the Burmese army of using chemical weapons in an attack on rebel groups in the country. The incident took place near Burma's northwestern border with Thailand in February. The attack left the rebels vomiting blood and unable to walk. The group Christian Solidarity says it has evidence which suggests the chemical weapons were responsible for the men's injuries. The attack involved yellow vapor clouds pouring from shells fired at the men's positions, and soon after, many felt sick, vomited blood, and were unable to walk. Some later suffered from blisters and acute diarrhea. The British Foreign Office says it is very concerned about the allegations. The Burmese embassy has so far declined to comment. The leader of the opposition in Burma has been under house arrest, both before and after winning the Nobel Peace Prize. But that's Burma. They don't have oil. They don't have, well, whatever they have. Whatever they don't have, they don't have. So, no, we don't attack them. That's Burma. Shortly before General Sanchez, the commander of everything that was going on in Iraq at the time of Abu Ghraib, was given a clean bill of health over the weekend, this report came out. Army intelligence officials in Iraq developed and circulated wish lists of harsh interrogation techniques they hoped to use on detainees, including tactics such as low-voltage electrocution, blows with phone books, and using dogs and snakes. The discussions took place in email messages between interrogators and army officials in Baghdad. They were used in part to develop the interrogation rules of engagement approved by General Sanchez. Just some bad apples, ladies and gentlemen, some bad apples using email. Army investigative documents, as well as court records and files, say that the tactics were used on two detainees. One died while stuffed into a sleeping bag. Another was badly beaten by inexperienced interrogators. You want to be well beaten by experienced interrogators, don't you? That would be my preference. Captain William Ponce wrote in one of his emails that the, quote, gloves are coming off, unquote, because casualties were mounting and officers needed better intelligence to fight the insurgency. He solicited wish lists from interrogators. Interrogators used the perception of newfound latitude from the list, including open hand strikes, closed fist strikes, using claustrophobic techniques. Just some bad apples, ladies and gentlemen. But you find them, it appears, in a very large orchard. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the news early in the week was about ABC's attempts to find a program to replace Ted Koppel's version of Nightline when Ted Koppel leaves at the end of the year. And what made the news was the report that among the possibilities ABC News has taped was a pilot for a new version of Nightline that was taped in a nightclub set. People at tables with drinks, some smoke in the atmosphere to just give it an ambience-type atmosphere. No word as to whether... apparently, ABC has not green-lit that particular version of the new Nightline. But perhaps if that wasn't the last straw for Ted Koppel, maybe this was.
From the Rune Arledge Theater in New York City, where none of the anchors has barnacles, this is Late Night Line with Ted Koppel. Tonight, CNN newsman Aaron Brown, former National Security Advisor Dr. Zbigniew Brzezinski, and Paul Schaefer, and the ABC News Symphony. And now, a man who's more serious than his hair, Ted Koppel.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome to this new incarnation of Nightline. This program started out as America Held Hostage. It's ending up as Ted Koppel Held Hostage. No, I kid the good people at ABC. This network is doing so poorly, Drew Carey has to improvise his own ratings. No, thank you, but I swear to you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have the slightest idea what that means. But I do know that we are in this beautifully refurbished theater, and we're going to have a very good time getting to the bottom of today's news. Paul Schaefer, how are you, sir?
Ted, I am fine. I'm glad to be on ABC. I've now been on every network in the United States and Canada, except for Global.
Well, Global?
Yeah, it's a Canadian thing. Yeah. It's a swinging little syndication setup.
Paul Schaefer, you are totally steeped in show business.
Well, Ted, let me just say, for my daughter's bat mitzvah,
yes,
we are building a green room in the temple, because...
But, Paul, do you follow the news at all?
I love the news.
You do?
I love the news.
And then I have the feeling I'm being set up for something here.
No, they don't write for me on this show either.
All right, well, that at least is reassuring. Our first guest tonight is a one-time, sometime occupant of this chair, and is now enjoying great success over at CNN, hosting his own broadcast, even though it's on cable. Please welcome my friend, Mr. Aaron Brown. Aaron, thank you, sir, for coming uptown to visit with us.
Ted, it is so difficult for me to believe how this show has changed. There are colognes on the dressing room toilet.
There are indeed. And there's Irish coffee at the snack table.
Yes, it is impossible to not notice that.
Aaron, you've been on the air at CNN ever since September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Like this broadcast, your career was born in crisis. Now, you're changing with the times.
That's right, Ted. And I have to say, that's just also a perfectly written introductory sentence.
Well, you are too kind.
But yet, it's hard to maintain a feeling of alarm and crisis. And if our lives didn't list back toward normal, we'd all go mad.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, given the more competitive news environment we now live in, Ted, it wouldn't feel right in that war to be a conscientious objector.
Well, Aaron, you are no slouch when it comes to writing your ad libs yourself. But to pursue the point about competition, opposite you, Greta Van Susteren on Fox, and in fact, you are losing viewers to your one-time colleague,
mm-hmm.
suddenly monominous Greta.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Well, this sounds like an audience that would appreciate onomatopoeia.
Uh-huh.
But yes, Ted, that is correct. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, in the old days, maybe we would have dealt with her challenge by being more serious than her, do a more thoughtful broadcast.
Well, in all fairness, not a major challenge in itself.
You've seen her show. But this being the 21st century, mm-hmm. Ted, the people at CNN felt, and I had to agree, that we had to meet the competition head on. So yesterday afternoon I had an... And this is very awkward for me to say this. I had some eye work done.
You didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Paul,
I brought a before picture for you.
This is unreal.
Well, here's the part I really did have a little trouble with, Ted. We videotaped the surgery, and it's our segment 7 5-part series all next week. Yeah.
Now, again, Aaron, we do speak as old friends, mm-hmm. and this is a question that did come up frequently in the Van Susteren case. Are you sure it was only eye work?
I swear to you, Ted, nothing but just a minor tune-up mm-hmm. around the corners of my eyes.
Yeah, but to tell you the truth, Aaron, something's different around the mouth, too, isn't it?
Well, I don't know, Ted. Maybe it's a strain of saying a headline please about 5 or 6 times a night.
Well, that is your trademark phrase, isn't it? Favor us with it just one more time, if you would.
All right. Ted Koppel, a headline, please. There you go.
All right, now, what's the prognosis, Aaron? Are you going to have more of this type of thing?
Ted, I seriously hope not. I hope this was an aberration and not the start of a process. Let me just say, I hope Fox doesn't put Geraldo Rivera on opposite me, because I really don't feel like going out in the field and having my crew start shooting at me.
Aaron, stay with us if you can. Our next guest is a most distinguished scholar and practitioner in the field of international relations. He was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, and he's a longtime friend of this broadcast. Please welcome Dr. Zbigniew Brzezinski. Dr. Brzezinski, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Ted. First time in this circumstance, though.
Yeah, I should explain. We're going to have a little fun with Dr. Brzezinski tonight. We will discuss some of the more intractable trouble spots in the world. As you can see, he's suspended over a large tank, which we happen to have filled with oatmeal in the first of what we're calling a series of stupid professor tricks.
3, 4. Stupid professor tricks. He's too smart to do those stupid professor tricks. Yeah.
It
It looks like very good oatmeal, Ted.
Well, at these prices, I should hope so. All right, Doctor, let's start out with a very difficult situation between India and Pakistan.
All right, Ted, India is a regional superpower. Pakistan is a problematic regional fulcrum type nation. And between the Hindus and the Muslims.
Well, that's very well done, sir. I hope that isn't one of your good suits.
Well, it isn't anymore.
It certainly isn't. What about Central Africa, Dr. Mm-hmm. Brzezinski? Do we just have to wait for the Rwanda-Congo tribal conflict to burn itself out?
I don't think so, Ted, and let me tell you why. And the next thing you know, you've got another Robert Mugabe on your hands.
Or another Joseph Mobutu.
Well, I'm the one getting wet. Let me use my example.
All right, fair enough. And finally, because we are running out of both time and oatmeal, give us a roadmap, if you can, of how we get from where we are now to peace in the Middle East.
Ted, the key is the Iranians. The Saudis are trying to steal a march on them at the moment, but into a bona fide peace process.
Yeah!
Thank you.
Dr. Brzezinski, thank you so much for participating in our first Stupid Professor Trick.
It was my pleasure, Ted.
Stupid Professor Tricks, yeah!
Thank you, Paul. And the transcript of Dr. Brzezinski's full comments will be on our website, so you can actually find out what's on his mind. What's on my mind is thanks to Aaron Brown, Dr. Brzezinski, and of course, our own Paul Schaefer.
Yeah, thank you, Ted.
For helping me through this first broadcast. You know, change is never easy. We do hope to find this a more comfortable fit as time goes on. Tomorrow night, Dr. Anthony Fauci of the Centers of Disease Control and our list of the top 10 pedophile priests. That's our broadcast for this evening. Good night.
This has been ABC News Late Night Line. For a video recording of this program, call a friend who has TiVo. More people get their news from ABC News than is good for a healthy democracy. Good night. Yours.
This is Le Show. And ladies and gentlemen, I know that you have had better things to do in the last couple of months than follow the Michael Jackson trial. And in a way I have too, but still, you know me. So last 2 or 3 weeks have been filled with testimony, mainly from the accuser's mother, as she's known in the delicate euphemistics of American trial journalism, even though her name is readily accessible. Her name and her kid's name are readily accessible over the internet. But don't get excited. Her testimony basically about the conspiracy aspects of the charges that after the Living with Michael Jackson special was broadcast by ABC, that the Jackson camp panicked because Michael had said on the show, "I like to sleep with young boys. It's a good thing." And then tried to hold the family. She said, kidnapping is an ugly word. She by all reports, was a fascinatingly wacky witness, emotional and combative, mercurial. And, of course, and the prosecution did introduce some evidence to back her. She said that, for example, the Jackson operation had surveilled her and her family at various points. And the prosecution introduced videotape of the surveillance videotape. So, you know, even paranoids have enemies. The Jackson defense will present its case starting in the next few days, supposed to last about 6 weeks. And there's already been videotape introduced of Jackson sort of crooning to a couple of his young friends, including the accuser. And although there's a great deal of controversy, obviously, about the behavior at the root of the accusation of molestation, and there will be probably a withering defense put on by Tom Mesereau to disprove that. There appears to be less controversy about reports, testimony, and I think there is even photographs that one of the behaviors Jackson did like to indulge in with his young male friends was licking their heads. At one point, he was reported to have said that it was, to keep a young friend clean. There may be some crooning on this.
All I do is lick the head. I lick the head. You got to lick the head. Lick the head.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of copyrighted features, it's time for me to read the trades for you. This is from Adweek. Forget about $3,000 toilets. Army to relaunch $200 million ad review. Who's going to read it for you, baby? Oh, I will. Dateline Chicago, the United States Army is expected to relaunch the review for the $200 million advertising account because of inconsistencies in the evaluation approach in last year's competition. According to a client memo, this is the latest setback in a process that began last June. The Army had narrowed its review last year to six finalists, including the incumbent, Leo Burnett in Chicago. A decision had been expected in December, but the Army instead extended Burnett's contract through June. According to the memo sent by the Defense Contracting Command, quote, the government anticipates re-soliciting for the U.S. Army recruiting and advertising program, with the new review now slated to conclude in September. After meeting its recruitment goals for the last several years, the Army in the last two full months has fallen short, a deficit attributed to the war in Iraq. I guess you got to read the trades to find out that they attribute it to that, but that's why I do it. Burnett broke new work for the Army this week. The spots depict teenagers talking to their parents about the benefits they receive from the Army, such as college tuition. One ad presents a father praising his son for the ways he's changed after completing basic training. You did two things you've never done before, says the father to his son. You shook my hand, then you looked me square in the eye. Then you put on your wooden leg. No, you didn't. The spots conclude with a line, help them find their strength and retain Army of One as a tagline. That's the end of the story from Adweek. Forgetting to note that Army of One was so disliked by the Army that that was the main reason for their instituting the review in the first place, you see. But news that the Army does take time doesn't come as all that big news, ladies and gentlemen, when I read the trades for you. Copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Drive safely. Ladies and gentlemen, hearts and minds, Iraqi deputies have demanded an official apology from Washington over the manhandling by U.S. soldiers of an MP at a Baghdad checkpoint, with some calling for the fortified Green Zone to be liberated from the occupation. Liberated from the liberators? What's that all about? Deputies suspended their session for an hour in protest at the incident involving Fatah al-Sheikh, a partisan of Muqtada al-Sadr, and a member of the dominant United Iraqi Alliance bloc. They then voted unanimously on a motion demanding an official apology from the U.S. Embassy in Washington and the punishment of the U.S. soldier involved. When I told the translator with the soldier that I was a member of the National Assembly, he answered, "To hell with you and the National Assembly," Sheikh told his colleagues. I got really upset, so I got down from my vehicle to confront him, and at that moment a U.S. soldier came over and grabbed my neck and choked me for a minute or so. Just a nice 60 seconds of choking, ladies and gentlemen, for your Hearts and minds pleasure. That, with that, we're going to conclude this edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide, throughout Europe on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived whenever you want it, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. Available on Channel 108 on Sirius Satellite Radio, new home of Martha Stewart. And available as a free download whenever you want it at www.audible.com/LeShow. And it would be just like getting your head licked if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. Email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Macca. Tip of the Le Show chapeau to the San Diego and Pittsburgh desks. Le Show playlists available at harryshearer.com. WWL-TV here in New Orleans for helping to make today's program broadcastable. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.